This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with two birds on a bat with Jim, Steve, and Fish.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
And there that is! In the left field! It's number 3,000! A run is scored!
Smith corks one into right down the line! It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Cardinals there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal Nation. Welcome into this week's edition of Two Birds on a Bat. I'm one part of your team here, Jimbo. Let me welcome in Steve-O and Fish. What's happening, fellas?
What's up? What's up? What's up, man? Hey, I missed Cardinal baseball late October.
Well, it's a semi-sad day in Cardinal Nation, but the reality of it is, as we like to quote on the show many times, our old friend Tony La Russa used to always say, what, Fish?
We're tied for first.
That's right. We are now officially tied for first as we are in the off season. We got a full house for you today. I'd like to welcome in two people on the. Let's welcome in a friend of the show and proud to have him as a full time member of the show. We got to change that opening now, Brian. Benji's part of the team now, so it needs to be. And with special guest Benji Molina, let's get him added to that. Benji calling in on the M4 by Yachty Hotline. What's going on, Benji?
Hey guys, no, just happy to be on the show, man. I miss you guys for the past 6 days, man.
Hey, we can do the show every day. Do you want that on your plate? I don't know about that.
Hey, Jim can talk that long. I don't know if the rest of us can.
Well, hey, Benji, we have a special guest in studio today. I want to take a couple of times here we've gone to this fan of the week, and some of the guys, which I think is neat that are reaching out there through Twitter, are kind of sporadically pieced out all across this great nation of ours, which tells you the reach of Cardinal Nation. But today, fortunately, we have in what I'm so excited, an unbelievable guest who's a phenomenal writer. She wrote an unbelievable article that when I read it, I was so impressed that I asked her to be on the show. She checked us out, made sure we weren't all a bunch of lunatics, and agreed to come on. So let's welcome into studio Carly Schauber. Carly, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How about you?
Good. Real quick, I want to let everybody know that the best way to find out a little bit about Carly is to check out her Twitter handle, @Carly_Schauber, and that's Carly underscore Schauber. Make sure you check her out. Her pinned tweet is what we're going to cover in the second half of the show, but in the fan section. But if you want to follow along with us, make sure you go there and then check her pinned tweet, because it's an unbelievable article that I definitely want to touch on her. But as we start out this show, guys, and I'll start with you, Benji, what's your thoughts? The Cubs are World Series champs. It was amazing. It was exactly what I expected. Cardinal Nation, there's some people out there that are okay with it, but man, it's hard for a lot of us to accept it. What's your thoughts on it, Benj?
I thought it was a great World Series for a baseball fan. And I'm not talking about in a specific. I'm not talking about a Pirate fan. I'm not talking about a Cardinal fan. I'm talking a baseball fan. If you really, really love baseball, this was a great World Series. Obviously, it's not a great feeling for the Cardinal fans because of the division rivals. But anyway, it's a great thing. I mean, think about 108 years in the making, and these guys just go out there and kill. I mean, you knew they were the best team all year, and they showed it, and they showed up, and they showed everybody that they were the best. And finally, they came through, man. It wasn't easy. They were down 3-1, and everybody knows, and they came back. So if you're a baseball fan, you have to love these kind of things. And I did. I mean, I enjoyed it.
I agree with you, Benji. I found that being a St. Louis fan, especially with this being a fan show, that I was attracted to watching this World Series just because of the Cubs being in it. And there was a large part of me that was – what I really wanted to happen was a Game 7 – extra innings, and then Bryant to throw that ball into right field and lose the game, almost like the curse got him again. That if I had my dream, that's what I wanted. But I got a lot, you know, obviously we're down here in the market where there are still a lot of Cubs fans, too, that have migrated south for jobs or whatever there might be, or from central Illinois that are now down towards our area. And so I have a lot of friends that I got to watch the Game 7 with one of them, and he literally, I thought he was going to die. He was on suicide watch once that home run happened in the eighth inning.
See, now I wouldn't let a Cub fan in my house to watch the game with me. The Cubs were deserving. They were the best team. Hats off to them. But I'm still a Cardinal guy at heart. This is a Cardinal show. Piss on the Cubs. But it was a great World Series. In Game 7 specifically, I mean, extra innings, home runs, rain delays. What more could you ask for, man?
Now, Benji, I noticed, Benji, I noticed you put on your
– You almost got Steve, which he almost threw it away in a way that he slipped.
Absolutely. The rain almost got him. That was the curse I was looking for.
Now, Benji, I know your throwback post was I was unaware. So Jose was with the Cubs for a while?
He was drafted by the Cubs.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I don't remember the round, but he was drafted by them. He played on that. Remember that game where Sosa or Maguire hit the record, I think, and he was catching, I think, one of those games.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Wow.
That's interesting.
Yeah, for the Cubs.
Carly, you do some phenomenal writing. I'm so impressed with your writing talent. And of course, again, I encourage everybody to check out her Twitter handle and check out her pinned post. It's an unbelievable article. But you also do some stuff for one of the local stations here, KSDK. So you're a Cardinal fan, but yet you're also really, I mean, your job is to put down in words kind of what's going on. So do you typically, is it opinion or is it kind of is what's going on in the moment? What do you typically do there?
Yeah, so my writing style has always been the same ever since I really started getting into writing. It's been more of a less statistics and sabermetrics, more of a fan perspective. And that, you know, sometimes you just need that kind of twist, because I know when I read all the articles that I read, the countless articles that I read, you know, it's just like the same thing over again, like statistics, sabermetric. And, you know, it's nice every once in a while to have a little break and to really put things in a fan perspective and saying this is what it means to be a Cardinals fan and why it's so different than any other fan base. And I truly take, I don't take that lightheartedly. And, you know, being a Cardinals fan is honestly a privilege to have. And I think that's what really made me stand out in my writing. And that's what, you know, the people at KSDK always liked about me was, you know, the kind of twist and different perspective that I have in my writing.
So if you have to write an article about this moment right now in Cardinal history, because it is, I think it is a moment in Cardinal history. The Cubs have won. It's been 108 years. We've had that fun back-and-forth rivalry with Cubs fans, you know, the lovable losers and all that kind of stuff. The reality of it is they are now World Series champs. So, Carly, well, what's your honest take on that from a fan's perspective? Like, well, how would you try to put that down in words?
You know, it's kind of what Benji said. This was a phenomenal World Series for a baseball fan. Sometimes you have to put the rivalry aside and forget that. Okay, we have a little beef with Cubs fans, especially lately. Ever since they've become good, you know, they kind of got a little humble of themselves ever since they became.
You can say it. You can say it.
But no, I mean, two teams that haven't won a lot for a really long time, that's a baseball fan's dream, is to watch that kind of series. And it wasn't just, and the fact that Cleveland was up 3-1 in the series, and everyone was like, man, I don't know, it's going to be a really hard time for the Cubs to come back from this. And the fact that they did, and not only that, but they did it in Cleveland too. Like, this series was just an all-around great series to watch as a baseball fan, and I really enjoyed it.
You know, rivalries are what, in my opinion, make sports great. I think they're encouraged. I think they schedule them, right? I mean, it's a
Absolutely.
Great part of it. Benji, when you went to San Francisco, your knowledge of the one of the great rivalries in baseball is the Giants and Dodgers. I mean, it's a noted, I hate to use this word because nobody wants to hate them, but it's a noted hatred almost. Was it something you were aware of before you got there? Or like when you got there, was there some veteran presence in the clubhouse that come over and said, hey, we do not lose to the Dodgers, no matter what it takes? How did that work for you, Benji, when you got to San Francisco?
It was when I got to the clubhouse, the first series, when we were having a, you know, like a game in L.A. or a game in San Francisco, and I heard people talking about it. I'm not big about rivalry, and I don't see it that way. The only thing I see is that I want to win that day. I don't care who I'm facing, so I don't see it as a rivalry, but a lot of people do, and a lot of fans and a lot of players do, because that's what I saw. I saw Randy Wing and Rich Aurelia, you know, guys that been there, you know, even Barry Bonds, you know, and all those guys hated the Dodgers, and all of a sudden, I'm in this mix. So I noticed then, but like I said, I didn't never try to see it like that. It doesn't mean that I wasn't thinking about it. I was thinking about it, but I try to keep myself away from it so I could do my job, you know, so I don't have to get caught up in, okay, I hate him. I have to do this job even worse. And then you put pressure on yourself and then you do it all wrong. But, yeah, you get aware, you know, as a player, you know, like Washington Nationals and maybe the Mets have right now, and maybe the Houston Astros are building one with Texas, you know, and things like that. So we're aware of it, you know. We just don't want to think about it that much because we have a job to do. That's it.
Well, I think the player's perspective is always going to be different, because I would agree with how Benji's looking at that. You know, you put unneeded added pressure in yourself to win a game. Hell, Benji wants to win them all anyway. Where's the pressure to just beat the Dodgers? But, you know, as fans, we're going to look at that differently. We do have this rivalry with the Cubs, and I give them credit, and I guess in a way kind of happy they won. But, you know, I'm a Cardinal guy, man.
Well, no, and I agree with you, Fish, and I look at it from a fan's perspective, and is it – you know, I think it goes into that we want to have that rivalry with the Cubs, but isn't it more of the Chicago all in all, that rivalry, that, you know, that as a fan, as a St. Louisan, that we're almost like the
second
ugly
citizen.
Yeah, second
no
citizen.
Doubt.
Almost like the same thing that Kansas City has against us. Mm-hmm. It is a very similar feel. You know, we're the big city in the state of Missouri, and, you know, and they play second fiddle to us. But we have the same type of thing where, and I don't know what makes the rivalry. Is it the players or is it the fans that fuel it? And that's why I like, you know, Benji's perspective on that they have the same feeling. They can feel it in the clubhouse.
You know, I do another show called Bleacher Bums with Fish and another guy. And we had the opportunity, a friend of the show is a lifelong Cubs fan. And he's migrated here, obviously. Steve, you know him, Tor Herman.
Yeah.
We had the opportunity Wednesday at the last minute, found out that he had went to Cleveland, had bought tickets for Game 6 and 7, and was there for Game 6, and he was putting stuff out. So we had the opportunity to get him on that show and talk about – it was basically a perspective of a Cubs fan in Cleveland. And he said something very – of all the things he said, and he did a great job of painting the picture of what it was like to be there and go through that. But he said something at the end that I thought was great. He said, listen, here's the deal. Right now, we're on top. We feel like we're on top, right? He goes, but here's what I don't want. I want every Cardinal fan to own the fact that they love their team and they don't like us, because I want to own the fact of how I feel about you. Don't change now and tell me you're happy for me. Don't do it. No,
see, that's
I want
typical,
that.
Right
I
there
want
it is.
That.
That's typical Cubs shit, trying to tell me how I'm supposed to feel. That's it in a nutshell. This guy don't need to tell me. I want Cardinal fans to take ownership of wanting to have a rivalry and rooting against the Cubs. I'll feel the way I want to feel. Thor or whatever his name is, go back to Chicago or Cleveland or wherever he came from, as far as I'm concerned.
What do you think about that, Benji?
Hey, I'm going to tell you this. Not because you're happy for 1 minute about a team that haven't won 108 years, not because you're happy for 1 minute, means that you like the Cubs. I don't like the Cubs. I don't like to watch them. I don't like to.
Attaboy,
I mean,
Benji.
But I mean, it's happy that feeling that, man, it's 108 years. They made history. we might not even be alive if they would have won this. I don't know when they're going to win again. So, and that type of history, you know, it's happy for baseball. I'm a baseball fan. I love that. But in this case, it happened to be the Cubs, you know. So I'm happy for them for maybe 1 hour, maybe or so. And then after that, hey, we go back to where we are, you know. So that doesn't make you like the Cubs, you know.
Yeah, and kind of going back to the rivalry thing, I think I've always looked at it as kind of more of a fan thing, because when I go to Busch Stadium for a Cardinals-Cubs game, that's my favorite time to go to Busch Stadium out of the 100 billion times that I do go. It's more, I feel like it's, like I said, more for the fans to kind of like make it more interesting. And of course it's a rivalry, you know, I assume for the players too, and that they can feel that energy in the clubhouse, like you said. But there's just something about that rivalry, and it's not just, you know, well, kind of weird what we're touching on either. It's not just baseball either. It's, you know, the Blues and Blackhawks and all that too. It's just St. Louis and Chicago, and it just makes things so much more thrilling and exciting for the fans. And you can physically feel that in the atmosphere too, and I think that's what's so great. And it's not so much of it, as much as we like to think it is, it's not so much of a hateful rivalry. It's kind of like a, you know, a loving rivalry that, you know, that's usually how it happens.
Well, here's what I want your guys' take on this. It's been 108 years. They've kind of had that lovable loser thing going, and I agree with you, Carly. I think it has been a it's Steve's point too, Chicago, St. Louis, the whole thing. Does this rivalry now increase and intensify because they've won? What do you think, Steve-O?
Yeah, absolutely. And then in typical Cubs fan fashion, it's all of a sudden it's going to be what, you know, what Tor says. It's going to, you know, those sorts of things, the asinine things that they say that, listen, you haven't done shit in 108 years, okay? You won once. You were the best team. You got it. I agree with that, and I'm happy for you from that standpoint. But shut the hell up now, and let's get on to April 1st so we can start playing ball again.
Fish, what do you think?
For first.
What do you think? Is this just going to intensify it?
I think the foundation's there. It's going to go on about the same. It's going to be the same as it was, with intensity anyway. But I'm going on record as right now saying the Cardinals are going to have a better record than the Cubs next year.
Holy cow, Benji. What do you think?
It's a bold prediction.
Oh, man.
I'm a bold guy.
Are you betting on it?
What's that?
Are you betting money on it?
No, I'm not betting money, but here's what I'm betting on. I'm betting that the leadership of this club, guys like Yadier Molina, and some of the pitching that's coming back with Reyes being young and Lance Lynn coming back, some of the guys having better years, I'm betting on the fact that this team's going to be, hey, look it, this team, the Cubs are going to have maybe an injury or two, which I wouldn't ever hope on anybody, but it happens. It's baseball. And you just watch, Benji. I'm betting on our veteran leadership, showing these young guys and getting it cranked up.
I'm with you. I want that to happen. Believe me, I don't. And I think I want to go back to what Steve said. I think they're going to come out and be knuckleheads. You know, I think they're going to be crazy because they won one time and they're going to forget how many the Cardinals have. You know, like they're not going to talk about it. They're going to say, oh, yeah, we won last year. Forget about the 11 championships that, you know, the St. Louis have. Those are ignorance. But that's what they're going to – that's what I feel they're going to come out next year, and they're going to start going acting crazy, and the rivalry is going to go nuts.
And that's the thing, Benji. So you've been there. You know this. I can just look and see the numbers. It's hard to repeat. It's hard to be – when they were as good as they were this year, and they were deserving because they were that good, and they got some great pieces, no doubt. But it's hard to repeat that performance. Everybody can't have career years every year.
Yes, it is. It is very hard. It is very tough. The only and other reasons that people don't probably think about is because you're pitching just through the last ball on almost November. Okay? So now they got to get a couple months off, go back to work, and come back spring training. That spring training is going to come back to you in a hurry, man. And those pitchers are not going to be fully, you know, I mean, I went through them. I went through all those stuff. I mean, Lackey wasn't the same the next year, and all these kids that I had in the Angels, they weren't the same. They were a little tired. You could see that. But, you know, it's hard to repeat, and that's one of the main reasons for it.
Hey, Benji, one of the things I talked about on the other show was the fact that, listen, we've beat it in the ground. They had the best record in baseball this year. I think they were clearly the best team. The best team doesn't always win, but they did pull it off. Hooray for them. Going forward, as we move into next year, because as we like to say, we're tied for first, I'm of the belief that they're not so Teflon Don-ish here. Okay, I see some things that I don't think you can necessarily completely 100% hang your hat on that the rest of the country seems to just want to assume. A couple of those things are this. Yes, Javier Baez, Addison Russell, boy, they sure look the part, but they're still young. I understand Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo both had great years. Will they both have great years again next year? Well, I guess if they do, they're going to be hard to beat. But they've got a young catcher coming. They've got to find playing time for some of these other guys because they have a lot of different talented pieces. And their starting pitching is the one thing that everybody wants to assume is a no-brainer for them. Here's my thing. John Lester is obviously a head case. The guy refuses to throw the ball to a base. So you're going to tell me that this head case is going to lose his personal catcher and he's going to be just fine with that next year? I don't think so.
That's exactly right. I was going to say that too. I was going to say they have their free agent problems too. I mean, if Fowler leaves, that's a big key for them.
Big piece.
If Lester loses a catcher or whoever, you know, whoever these free agents come in or out, their whole chemistry is all gone. Now, they win with Schwarber, you know, the kid that Devin played this year. He kills everybody. He seems to be a good hitter. But I go pitching over hitting any day. I will go. And I think the Cardinal pitching is going to be on top of them and it's going to be ahead of them. Other hitters, you watch.
Hey, Benji, now this doesn't maybe fit into the flow of the show, but I've got to ask you this. How come the Indians didn't bunt, or any team bunt more on Lester? I mean, bunt back to him, force him to make those plays. How come that didn't happen?
I mean, our team in the Angels, we would have done it. In 02, I'm talking about, obviously. That team that we had Brad Fulmer, a full-on DH, bunting. We had Scott Spezia, right, which you guys know very well. We got him, and he bunted when he felt like a guy couldn't feel the bunt or couldn't throw the ball. We bunted. We didn't care who we were. We had Adam Kennedy. We had David Eckstein. We got guys that didn't care. If you didn't know, like if you had a guy like Lester on the mound, we'll bunt three times. We'll bunt two times. We'll bunt five times, you know. We would have done it. I don't know why they didn't do it. That's just my thinking.
So if you bunt three times, you've essentially bunted 29 or 27 times because it puts a thought in his head that, hey, this guy may bunt on me. So you've affected his psyche for every pitch he throws.
Plus, you got a chance to get on base, and after that you got a chance to steal a bag if you're a fast runner.
Well,
so why not try to get on?
I don't think they had very much success stealing off of him. I saw Ross throwing people out left and right. This Lindor got hosed twice, didn't he?
Well, Benji, I want to ask you that.
I think they run in the wrong time. I think they run on back counts. I was watching, and I think the they thought that they just could lift the leg and go, and that's not the case. You have to pick a – you got to pick a pitch, and not only that pitch – pick a count where you get a slider, where you get a curveball, where you get a changeup, something slower, and you get a stolen base easy. But they went, and they had a fastball inside. You know what I mean? So the fastball will get you out there, and, you know, it's a bang-bang play out or, you know, or safe. But what I'm saying is if you pick the right count to go, they will have it easy. They were just not smart in that matter.
You know, my thing was, and I think it was, I believe it was Smoltz that brought it to the listener's attention, and I thought he did a great job, by the way, of giving us some insight into a player's perspective. He talked a little bit about the Cubs catchers, how good a job they did at framing pitches and stealing strikes and things. But the thing he brought up about stealing against Lester, and it made sense, and after he brought it up, I literally, because I'm a knucklehead, would rewind and watch the leads these guys were taking. He brought it up. They looked uncomfortable being that far off the bag, and they just didn't get good jumps because you could see it in their face that they were like, I cannot believe I'm this far off the bag. All he's got to do is step off and throw it over here, and they just didn't get good jumps. So it was almost counterproductive.
Exactly. And it could work against you, but if you have guys like Cleveland, which they're used to being out there, you know, they should just go and take advantage of it. I don't know. I think they missed a big opportunity on him and bunting and stealing and running on the bases and make him throw the ball, you know.
See, Benji, that's why us guys that are just the regular fan feels like that we could manage a game, because I'm sitting here listening to you thinking I couldn't agree more. Now, here's the next player, not only that, a catcher who could manage in the big leagues. We know that. And I'm sitting here agreeing with that. That's the biggest lost opportunity, that they didn't just beat Lester around on bunting and stealing, and they didn't do it.
That's a big waste, I think. And it ran right into the Cubs' hands because they don't want to have – why do you think they charge with Rizzo and Bryan? Why do you think they always charge for the bunt? Because they know the guy they have on the mound cannot feel the bunt or throw the ball. I'm sorry. He cannot throw the ball. So that's why they have that play that they crash, you know?
Benji, there was a swinging bunt, you know, not meant to be a bunt, a swinging bunt at one point down the third baseline that Ross said to come out and get, and they showed Lester in the frame while they were showing it. He literally backed up. So he wasn't even going for the ball. He essentially said, hey, I can't do this. Ross, you get it, or Bryant gets it, or the guy's got to hit because I can't do it. He made no effort. And it wasn't because he's lazy. It's a mindset. I would have bunted and ran on that guy all day long.
Yeah, me too. And I tell you, like, a team that we had in 02 would have done the same thing, because we did it. We did it to a few guys. I'm trying to think about a guy that couldn't do it, that I can think of it. But I cannot think right now of a pitcher that we did it to. But also, think about this. We were facing David Wells. You guys all remember David Wells from the Yankees.
Oh, yeah.
And we had David Eckstein. We had Adam Kennedy hitting second. The first two guys bunted. Okay? One got it successful, the other one couldn't. But the next at bat, David Eckstein bunted. And I asked him, I said, hey man, what's your take on these things? He said, oh no, Bimo, we gotta get him tired. We gotta get him tired in a hurry. And I didn't even thought about getting a pitcher tired. You know what I mean? I thought it was because he couldn't field it or he couldn't throw it. No, he wanted to get his legs tired sooner. You know what I mean? Like, he has to go for a bunt, gets the guys tired a little sooner than earlier.
Especially,
you know,
like, a guy like Wells, because he could win a hot dog eating contest. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, you get that heart rate up and you put him in that pressure situation. It definitely you get a lot tighter. And as you get tighter, if you're not, you know, anybody ball player knows, if you're not free and easy out there throwing and you're tight, you're squeezing it, that it tends to tire you out pretty quick, or at least let that ball just stay in the middle of the plate and you have a couple of mistakes there and you're out of the ball game.
You know,
you are, and that is so true, man. Seriously, the only thing that we don't have these days is people. A lot of players are not willing to sacrifice an at bat for that. He even told me, David Eckstein said to me, we don't care if we get a hit or not. We don't care. We're trying to bunt to get this guy tired. That's all we want. You know what I mean? He didn't care if he gets a hit or he I don't know, whatever. He got on base or he wanted to get this guy tired.
Remember what you told us about Bruce Bochy? That you can have 500 of those at-bats, but give me 50, give the team 50 of them. Same concept.
Yeah.
You know, there's times that you got to, no pun intended, but you got to make the sacrifice, not for yourself, but for the team. And I just keep going back to that, man. They should have done a lot of stuff different against Lester. That was an opportunity they let slip away.
Yeah, they let it, and especially winning 3-1 the series. And what do you guys think about how Madden managed? I mean, he didn't manage smart at all, but he came out on top, and he's a genius now because he won in Chicago. You know what I mean? I don't know if you guys noticed the whole game, but he did stuff that I don't know. I don't know if any other manager would have done it, you know?
Button Baez, pitching Chapman every time he could.
Yeah, and that's what I want to talk about, too. Overall, managing, I thought, especially at the beginning of the series, was great. And, you know, both what Joe and Terry did, they did, you know, stuff that I wish sometimes we could do as a ball club. But, you know, at the end of the series, I was really scratching my head of how much Madden put Chapman in, especially that, you know, that last game where Chapman really wasn't needed at all. And, you know, they had the hold of the game. And, you know, I understand it's the end of the series and that, you know, just, you know, pitch them, they'll have a whole offseason to recover. But I was really scratching my head with, you know, how much Madden brought in Chapman. And honestly, I thought it was really unnecessary.
Yeah, and I think that goes towards not only this year, but it goes towards next year. And the psyche that you just basically told the entire league that after you're starting pitching, you don't have a whole lot of faith in anybody but Chapman, which you I think you have to re-sign him still. I think he's yeah. a free agent. So, Jim, I texted you on that. I said, why on earth? It was game six. They're up 6-1 or whatever it was. It was a 5-run lead. And they brought him in for two innings, essentially, I think it was.
Two and two-thirds.
He got eight outs.
Yeah.
So when you bring a guy in that long, and that's your closer, and you're bringing him in, and where was Carl Edwards? Where was Montgomery? You know, those guys were just coming off of a day's rest as well. I mean, you got to have somebody else be able to eat up innings. And that was kind of unique to me from the Cubs' perspective, that once you got into the bullpen, you only saw three guys, essentially, or four guys, I think, the entire season. Strope, Edwards, Montgomery, and Chapman. I don't recall anybody else pitching in that series outside of the starters.
Hey, they brought Lester in with a guy on base. Now, you tell me about not having confidence in any of the rest of your pitcher, your bullpen. They're bringing a guy like Lester in with someone on base.
Right. So you played 162 games. You've gone through two other series. And now, all of a sudden, you've changed your managing that had 103 wins. You've changed your style with your pitching, and that was really surprising to me.
And Madden said he wouldn't do that. He used the word dirty.
That's exactly what I was going to say next, what Steve just said. You manage 103 wins, and you manage one way, and then all of a sudden it's a World Series, and you need an eight out from your closer? I don't get it. I really don't get it. And me and a good friend, Alex Cora, we were texting back and forth. We're like, wow, what are these guys doing? And getting starters out with 5-1 lead, 5-1 lead in the fourth inning.
Yeah, he
and
had a quick
get
hook.
Starters out because you got a walk or a hit. Come on, man, with 61 pitches. I mean, what is wrong with these guys? I mean, what are they doing? Because if you gave them 80 pitches in a normal situation, 90 pitches, 100 pitches, what the heck is the difference in the World Series when you're winning 5-1? 5-1, and you're going to get this guy out in four innings. I never understood that, man. It never got to me. They got lucky, I think, in that part of the game, I think.
Absolutely. And when I take that forward to next year, and what I meant by showing the entire league is all of a sudden, Chapman got hit a couple of times. And this is a guy that's at times has been untouchable. Now, I don't think he's going to be, you know, wasted. But all of a sudden, I think guys are going to dig into that batter's box just a little bit deeper and like, all right, if you want to throw 101, 102, I know there's guys that can hit it, and I'm a big leaguer, I can hit it too. Yeah. So I expect things to be a little bit different for him next year as far as his success. A
couple pitches he threw in game seven were 98 mile an hour.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we're
slower than
I don't think 30. We're giving Chapman enough credit. The reality of it is this. Nobody in that situation, if you're healthy, is going to say, I don't want the ball, Joe. The reality of it is the only time they hit him is when the guy had been completely overused. And if you look at the last inning he pitched, I think the majority of the pitches he threw were sliders because it was obvious he didn't have that electric fastball that was moving out of his hand. Let's not overestimate the fact that I'll take him coming in for three outs all day long and twice on Sunday.
Yeah, we're not giving him credit, Jimbo. Right. We're giving him credit. The problem is he was used wrong.
Well, I understand. I believe that, but it ain't going to make no difference next year.
But they hit him in game six, and they hit him in game seven.
That's just Steve saying stupid shit.
All right. So, hey, listen, I want to remind everybody to make sure you check out twobirdsonabat.com. That's our website. You guys can catch up on some of the back episodes. You can kind of see where the whole program started. I think, you know, we were fortunate enough to bring Benji in on this thing, and very happy to each and every week bring you Benji Molina on the M4 by Yachty hotline. Benji, tell our listeners a little bit about M4 by Yachty and what he's doing there.
Well, I think he's helping a lot of kids. You know, he's battered kids and women that are, you know, domestic violence and all that in Puerto Rico. He's taking all that a lot, a chunk of that percentage of that M4 goes to those people to help out. Not counting all the visits that he does to the hospital and help, and he takes Thanksgiving and he gives away 500 to 700 turkeys to poor families, and he delivered himself on his own hand at home. So this M4 was brought up by that, you know, to do that to kids and to help out at home, and that's what they're doing right now with us with the M4.
And that's great stuff, and we appreciate M4 by Yachty bringing you each and every week. Typically, the M4 hotline brings us both Benji at the beginning of the show, and then the second half of the show, it brings us the Cardinal Fan of the Week. Go ahead.
I'm getting a couple calls from the center where my daughter is.
Hey, you know what, Benji? Why don't you go ahead and go. We appreciate you being with us this week. I know you were going to try to stick with us through Cardinal history, but we appreciate you being on the line, and we'll catch up with you next Friday, Benji.
We'll say a prayer, Benji.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah.
Thank you. It's always fun to talk baseball with you guys, and we'll see you guys on Friday. We'll talk on Friday, okay?
Okay, Benji. Take care, brother.
Thanks, bud.
That's Benji Molina, each and every week, of course, like we just mentioned, coming to you on the M4 by Yachty hotline. Happy to do that. He's got some stuff going on there at home, and we are offering him our full support. So appreciate you, Benji, as always. What I was saying there was that obviously we each week we're fortunate enough to do that, and our affiliation with M4 by Yachty brings us our Cardinal Fan of the Week. Twitter is such a great tool for the type of stuff that we're doing here. Don't forget to follow us at Birds on a Bat Show. If you follow us, and especially if you're a Cardinal fan, we're going to follow you back. Even if you're just a baseball fan, we're going to follow you back. We learn so much through Twitter. Twitter is where I found Carly, who's with us this week as well. And again, very happy that she was able to come in today. I hope her professors aren't listening, because I think you got a case of blue flu today. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, let me tell you, I found her on Twitter. She had some interesting things to say, and this will show you kind of how we like to engage with people. Once I saw what she was doing, you know, I clicked on her, and I saw a pinned tweet. And when I saw this, I thought, this is the type of person that is exactly we're looking for to come on the show. She wrote an unbelievable article. Would it be an article? Is that what, just a post?
Yeah.
And the title was "Being a Cardinals Fan Changed My Life." I want to talk to her about it, because it was so well written and it's so impressive. But a couple of the things that stood out, and I'll just give you guys a couple quick little snippets. And that was, she says pretty close to the beginning that the Cardinals have given me much more than the opportunity to watch so many talented men play America's best pastime. This team gave me a childhood. She goes on very closely after that to say, the Cardinals gave me a special closeness with my parents that I will forever cherish and enjoy. Carly, it's an unbelievable, I get chills hearing that, because being a Cardinal fan it means a lot to a lot of people. And I think we take pride in how we go about being a fan. I think we're all typical fans sometimes and probably get upset. I mean, it's like a family, right? You're obviously younger than every guy in this room, so take us back to when this all started for you, and then after that, I really want to get into the inspiration for the article.
Sure. So, I mean, when growing up, my earliest memory of becoming a Cardinals fan, I think I was literally born into a Cardinals outfit. Like, right after I was born, they put me in a Cardinals outfit. And, you know, ever since then, just growing up, and really enjoying this game that I didn't know I would come to love so much. And I said in the article, people my age kind of grew up with Disney movies and, you know, all that cliche stuff. And I would get tapes out of my grandparents' boxes, and I would put them in the VCR. I think that's what that's called. I don't know what those are anymore.
Hey, watch it. I'm old.
Hey, when we got one, it was a big day in our house, so be careful. Go ahead.
But anyway, just not only watching just like World Series and playoffs game, but just watching regular season games on these tapes and really taking in what this game was. And I would spend hours and hours just even at the age of like 5, I would be so intrigued by what this game was and what they're doing, and I'd be always asking questions. And you know, to this day, I have some nephews, and I said, you know, when I was your age, and I felt really older saying that. That was like one of my first times saying, you know, back in my day when I was your age, I sit them down sometimes, and I show them what this game is and what I was exposed to, and I want them to have that same experience. And that's pretty much all I watched growing up, and that's when I fell in love with it.
Now let's give the listeners a little perspective in here as to where we're at. So you say at age 5 is kind of when you really remember some things really starting for you. So how old are you today?
I'm 19.
So you're 19. So 5, what year is that? I was told there'd be no math. What are we in?
96, 16,
5, 2000?
Fish is taking off his socks now.
Yeah, so you're
I was born in 97.
Okay, so you're in that 2001 range.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
All you've known is phenomenal baseball then over the years. You didn't live through the early 90s like the real fans here.
Yeah, I mean, I watched stuff from the early 90s. And,
yeah.
But I didn't, you know, watch it live. But
right. Well, of course not.
I did feel the little sting and pain
of the early 90s,
of, bad Cardinal baseball.
Yeah. What about the 80s? It was such an exciting time. We've talked about it on here. We're at that age, right, where the 80s impacted us as Cardinal. Like, we were fans before that, but what a run they had in the 80s that really kind of got us on that thing. Have you had a chance to – I'm sure you have, but what's that mean to you, the 80s?
The 80s is when I watch stuff from the 80s, I do a little compare and contrast to like what it's like now and what it was like then. And the reality of it is nothing has really changed. I noticed that perspective of just a different vibe of the clubhouse and the fans and what they have to offer at Busch Stadium and the players and what they mean to the fans and what the fans mean to them. And overall, it's just a great relationship that I noticed in the 80s. And then, you know, when they started winning stuff and all that, I was watching World Series tapes. And it's just like, at the end of the day, like I said, nothing has really changed. There's such a great energy that I wish I could live every year. And I think we all have that expectation, especially through the 2000s. But yeah, I mean, it's fun to watch, and to this day, I still, you know, I have my favorite pastime players, and I have, you know, obviously my favorite player now, but just looking back at Cardinal history and really taking it in is just, you know, it's...
So you do mean, excuse me, I'm sorry, but you do mean nothing has changed with, like, Cardinal Nation's enthusiasm, because in the 80s, we were wearing mullets and listening to disco music. So a lot has changed. You just mean with the enthusiasm Cardinal baseball. Right. I just want to throw in the mullet thing, you know. I look pretty good in mullet, man.
See, when you lose hair and you're lacking in hair and things, you want to go back to the golden days.
Right.
And that.
But they also had Ozzie Smith.
Oh, Willett, sure. Why not? Why not?
McGee,
yeah.
Pursuiter.
Sure. I'm curious. You mentioned your favorite. Do you have an all-time favorite Cardinal?
That'd be Bob Gibson.
Okay, that's really? Okay. Now wait a minute. Now, okay.
It's interesting.
That is interesting. Can we ask why?
I don't know. There's just something about watching him. It's a tie between him and, you know, and Ozzie, and
I'm in the Ozzie camp.
They're tied for first, but that's a good tie.
It's a good tie, and then
well, I think it's an interesting topic to hear because you're so much younger than us that your two favorite. You literally know nothing but Cardinal success as both a young person and as a young adult. The reality of it is for you to I would have completely expected you to say Pujols or Edmonds or Molina.
Yeah. I would have too.
I would have completely expected. This is completely off the reservation. So tell us a little bit. Like what's the connection there?
Yeah. I was gonna say my close second is Lou Brock too. So it's just
wow.
You know. time after another, it's just, you know, these pastime players that I really enjoyed watching. It's just something about their talent, and I can't really put my finger on it either. Just watching them play and their enthusiasm that they had for the game, really. And I think the players now might look back on that in the clubhouse, and they might see this is what this, you know, this, you know, 80s, this 90s team brought to, you know, where we are today. And my guess would be that they really take that into perspective and saying, like, how can we, you know, bring a little history and, you know, continue this great tradition? Because I think the Cardinals organization is known for tradition. And I think that that was kind of the theme that maybe last year, because they had, like, on the little ticket stubs, like, tradition and sure. all that. And I think they really take that to heart. And, you know, watching those guys play just really was a highlight of my childhood. And then I was raised in kind of like the Mark McGwire era.
Right.
And that really heated up my fandom a lot. And Mark McGwire was my mom's favorite player. And she – and I wrote in that article about how they were tied for, you know, the most home runs in a season, and how Sammy Sosa was kind of – and that goes back to the rivalry thing. It's just like – there, like, Sammy Sosa was in the same race for Mark McGwire and the record for home runs and stuff. And my mom wrote about that in like a little journal that she wrote for me.
You have that in your article.
Right.
And
yeah.
obviously, sadly, your mom passed away and you found this. Were you unaware of this before she passed?
Yeah. So my dad passed in 2011. That was the World Series in 2011 was a really good moment for me, because he passed away that May, and he was a huge Cardinals fan, and both my parents were really obviously huge influence on the Cardinals fan that I am today. And the moment that Alan Craig caught that fly ball to win the World Series, I immediately thought of my dad and saying, he must be having, you know, a grand old time right now, because this is just something that he's always wanted me to experience in my lifetime.
Sure.
And I remember even in 2006 when we won, you know, I was with my parents and I was, you know, watching the whole thing, really taking it in. And just, it's a really humbling thing. And after my mom passed away, we were kind of going through her things, and I found this journal, and it had stuff in it from, you know, when I was born, and then she had something in there about the night that Mark McGwire broke this, you know, this record. And I was reading over it, and the passion, like, I could hear her voice as I was reading it, like, just the passion that she had. And she wanted me so badly to love Cardinal baseball the way that my dad and that my mom did. And I thought it was really touching to put that in that article. And just saying, like, this is what I grew up on, and this is basically all we talked about in my house.
I will tell you that it's a moving thing, really, to listen
Absolutely.
To you talk about. You know,
what a cool story.
And that's the thing for me. The impressive thing to me was the childhood thing, like how it was instilled. And I think you're 100% right. How many kids are born in this not even this town, because it does stretch across the country as people get transplanted. They don't have teams they associate, especially in the Midwest. But you're born, and then what's one of the first gifts a lot of times a big Cardinal household will get from somebody? That onesie, that Cardinal onesie, you know? Can't you just picture yourself wearing that thing like when you were a kid if your parents were such huge fans? But it's amazing how you say, like, you felt like you were born into it. But the reality of it is you may have been born into it, but you embraced it.
Right,
obviously,
yeah.
They had the influence on you. The team itself, and that's what I think's interesting, is that, you know, because as parents and – you know, we obviously have kids in multiple ages here. We can kind of instill that in them a little bit, but it's kind of like leading the horse to water. You can lead it there, but it's got to drink it. You obviously took a big drink. So, you know, is that something that you think you'll do, you know, try to instill? Or is it like, you know, hey, you know, here's the deal. Here's everything. You're born into this rite of passage, so to speak.
Well, she was already talking about her nephews and nieces.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Trying
to
pass it on already.
Yeah, that's true.
And this is handed down. That's a beautiful story, man. I love it because I've lost my parents also. And I remember having a transistor radio. I still have it that doesn't work, but it's a little bitty cheap radio that me and my dad listened to games in our garage, his garage, I guess, when I was growing up. And I've kept that thing. There's no reason for me to keep it.
Right, yeah.
Except there's a connection to my dad listening to every Cardinal game that was on the radio, because they didn't play as many games on TV back then, by the way. Yeah. But listen to that growing up in my garage. I mean, it's a similar story. I'm not telling you. My heart was pounding when she told the story. I love it.
And not to tie that all back into what we were talking about with the rivalry, but do you – I mean, obviously Cardinals with their history and tradition, I think it's commonplace that it happens here in our town. And I can actually see it in Chicago with the Cubs. They're born into it, the lovable losers, like you mentioned, Jim, that it was constantly, hey, we lose, we lose, we lose, but we're Cubs fans, and they embrace that part. But, you know, I think about places like, you know, the Texas Rangers or the Marlins or the Kansas City Royals, and I really don't believe that they probably have that sort of father-daughter, father-son, mother-daughter, mother-son type influence where they're born into it. It's probably something that it's, hey, it's a chic thing to do. Let's go to the ball game. But here in St. Louis, I mean, it is – I bought them for my nieces and nephews. They live in Chicago. Right. And believe me, their first Christmas, they all got the Cardinal onesie because they weren't going to be Cubs fans.
Yeah, again, I encourage everybody to, as I'm asking you to do, is go out and follow her because she's an unbelievable fan, obviously, but a great writer. It's Carly underscore Schaber, and it's Carly underscore Schaber. I leave the article with this, and I'm quoting your words. So, Cardinals and Cardinal Nation, thank you. Thank you for my childhood. Thank you for the memories. Thank you for the experiences. Thank you for the friendships. Thank you for the heartache that made me a stronger fan. Thank you for everything. And thanks for reading my sappy-ass article. If you don't already, follow me on Twitter here. That's a great ending to what is an unbelievable read. And the heartache, and that's where I'm going with this, is are you feeling heartache today that the Cubs are champions?
Yeah, it was kind of like what Bendy says, like, I'm happy for an hour, and then it's back to, all right, let's get down to business, let's focus on this off season, and let's come back, and we'll fight next year, and hopefully get that title.
That's awesome. Hearing here from Carly Schaber in studio with us. Again, I really appreciate her being in. So let's take it there then. As we typically do Cardinal history, we don't have much right now. I mean, Cardinals have never had very much playoff or World Series history success. Oh, wait a minute. They do. so we can do that next. But the next thing I want to say is, okay, for you, what's next?
What's next?
Yeah, what do you got coming up?
Yeah, so I'm working on an article right now. It's kind of – so you had C70 on.
Right.
And I'm part of his United Cardinal blogger.
Oh, okay.
So that's also a really big thing that I do is
sure.
I you know, work with his, you know, kind of group there. And he put out this ballot that he emailed all of us, and he's saying, all right, this is kind of like a 2006 Cardinal Blogger Awards roundtable kind of thing. And he has a survey saying, like, player of the year, rookie of the year, comeback player of the year, disappointment of the year. And so right now I'm kind of working on that article kind of because he said you can either just – vote and leave it there, or you can write, you know, a blog post about it. And on KSDK, I'm going to be writing, you know, this is who my favorite player is. This is who I think had the best performance all around this year. This was my best rookie, and this is who was kind of like the biggest disappointment, letdown of the year. As much
right.
as, you know, I haven't thought of that yet because it's still really hard to like. Hey, this guy really sucked this year, so I'm gonna write about that now because I love all. That's another thing too. Just being a huge fan, I love these guys so much, and
it's hard to keep it real.
Yeah,
sometimes.
It's hard to keep it real, but that's another thing that I like to do as a writer is keep it as real as possible, and you know, that's.
And we asked that earlier in one of our first episodes. We asked most hated Cardinals. So from a young person's perspective that might have a little bit more brain cells than the three knuckleheads sitting in here, give us your most hated Cardinal.
Former Cardinal. Or current. I mean, if you want to go there.
Hate strong. Let's go with dislike.
Yeah. I don't want to taint. I mean, she is so awesome. I don't want to taint her with the word hate.
You know, I was sitting here thinking, Jimbo, I was sitting here thinking, I got at least 32 years more of this Cardinal Nation history passion. But there's no way I'm as passionate as she is.
That's amazing.
I wish my passion, because you know I love Cardinal baseball.
Sure
and have for a long time. and got connected.
You're tied for first.
No, I don't think I am. I don't think I am tied for first. I mean, you can see it. It like oozes out of her that she loves this Cardinal stuff, and I love it.
If there's one former Cardinal that kind of you're like, I'm glad he's gone. He didn't. You can even say, you know what? He didn't embody what I know to be a Cardinal. Who is it?
This is kind of like a cliche answer, and it's more recent. AJ Pierzynski.
Oh, wow. That's man.
It's kind of random. It's kind of random.
Well, he wasn't here very long.
Yeah, but he was hated by everybody everywhere else, so he's a good fit.
You know what? But the interesting thing is they said he did a great job here. And the players were on record as saying he wasn't the guy we heard he was in the clubhouse. So you wonder if, to your point, he thought, I can't go over there and be a knucklehead, not in that organization. You wonder.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, by going by media, because we're all not physically in the clubhouse, so I'm just going by media and what media is saying. They're saying AJ Pierzynski is a cancer in the clubhouse, and I'm like, I don't want this to happen because our clubhouse is such a great and fulfilled clubhouse, you know, with all the veterans like Wainwright, Molina, and, you know, Holiday, although I don't think anymore, but, you know, at the time, there's so many great veterans and rookies who are trying to learn what this clubhouse and what being a Cardinal is all about. And I was really afraid that Pierzynski, being the short time that he was here, he was going to kind of set off a negative vibe of those, you know, of those rookies and all that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, and that's an interesting one. I cannot believe we didn't think of him because of his history.
Because I don't think he was as hated in St. Louis so much. Well, but now, did he play for – he played with Matheny, right? He didn't play for LaRusso.
Yeah, he played for Matheny, yeah. So it was an interesting thing.
Because LaRusso wouldn't keep him around if he's a cancer in the clubhouse.
Well, I don't think he would have traded for him. He may not have traded for him. I don't know that they had a choice when they got him, though. They were kind of –
They had to get
– hey, so as we wind up the show, and I want to make sure I got this right on record. You know, obviously we're going to go into the off season. So we're going to, you know, take a lot more time spent on the what we think we need to build, what we think we need to do. So obviously Cardinal history will suspend until we get started back up. And so I want to make sure. I think we have it on record that my favorite Cardinal playoff moment is Game 6. Steve, did you say Game 6, even though I would have bet my life it was go crazy, or were you go crazy?
I can't even remember, man. That was last week.
Okay, well, then you have your opportunity to change your mind. Is it the go-crazy home run or is it Game 6?
The home run?
Yeah. No, your Cardinal favorite Cardinal history playoff moment.
Oh, jeez.
We talked about this. I'm going to go back now. You better not hedge.
Go to Carly first.
No,
so
no. I want to say. Listen. Go ahead. What's your favorite?
Game 6 is, you know, a very popular answer, and it's – but I want to say that's a second for me, because my first would be the very moment that we won 2011. Because, like I said, that instantly brought back a memory of this is what my dad wanted. And, you know, I was very close to both my parents. And, you know, that losing him at kind of a younger age, you kind of
– sure.
Even though I lost him that year, you know, the memory of him was starting to like fade away a little bit because I lost him at a young age.
Sure.
But the moment that the very second that we won, I could like picture my dad, like hearing his voice, you know, knowing his personality, like I could really remember what my dad would be doing right now. And that, I think that was like a highlight for me. And still to this moment, I can feel like the heavy heart that I had when we won the title.
He'd have been about our age, wouldn't he? Because I didn't know your father, but I'll bet he was a cool guy.
Yeah, he was 51, so he lived through that era.
You know, were you too young in 2006? Because my bet would have been going through in the first World Series title, sharing that with your parents. That was going to be my bet.
Yeah, I remember 2006 because my parents were separated when I was like 5-ish.
Right.
And but, you know, they're still close.
Sure.
But I was at my mom's house, and my mom and I were watching the World Series, you know, together. And so, yeah, I remember 2006, too, and that was another cool moment that I'll always remember with my mom, too.
That's good. So, yeah, I'm going to go Game 6. Fish?
I got to go with the freeze. That's Game 6, right?
No. The question was, and it was the Pujols home run against Lidge.
Oh, that's what
I
you
went
said.
With.
That's right. What you I went did with. Go with
but
that.
Here's the deal. I'm all scatterbrained because Fish told me that we were having Kyle Schwarberg in as the guest.
Carly Schauber.
Yeah. And
there's
I've been waiting for Kyle Schwarberg to come in. I'm like, how is he going to do that with being in a parade and everything? It's Carly that's in here. Fish is, you know, I apologize,
I told you I messed up, dude.
The old telephone game.
dead fat ass Carl, or not, wait a minute, Carl Schwarber, what's his name? Kyle Schwarber couldn't have been a better, more appropriate, and cooler guest than our Carly Schwarber.
Hey, you know, the way this show goes, and I'm going to say this, and I probably shouldn't say this on air, but I'm going to because this is how the show was built. Does anything not feel more right than finding a way for Carly to do some writing for this show some way or another? Does
That's
anything
up
not
to you, Jimmy? But
yeah, but doesn't anything? I mean, Steve, am I wrong? Does anything not feel more right that she has to somehow or another do something with this show?
I think Fish is going to give up his salary for that.
Well, it's easy to do right now.
Hey, they've been looking to get me off here for a long time, and you would be better at this than I am. But
Carly, we got to find a way to include you in Two Birds on a Bat. You're a phenomenal fan. You're a tremendous writer, and I got to tell you, I think as a to a man. Being a parent and having a daughter myself, and every guy in this room has a daughter, I can tell you that I assure you, and not that you need this, your parents are proud of you. I can tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
And
sure.
And we got to find a way, and I don't know what that is. We may have to pay you in Halloween candy, but we got to find a way to get this girl involved in this show. What do you guys think?
I vote for yes, and Fish has already eaten all the Halloween candy.
Oh,
you got that right.
Not this guy. Carly, thank you for being here this week. Cannot thank you enough. Guys, I cannot.
Great show.
I cannot tell you how you are doing yourself a disservice if you do not go to at Carly underscore Schwarber, C-A-R-L-Y underscore S-C-H-A-B-E-R. Go check it out. The first thing you do when you get on there, she has her article as her pinned tweet. Click on it. Read it. Be prepared to be moved in a great way. I'm telling you, it's great stuff. Special thanks, as always, to Benji Molina for joining us on the M4 by Yachty Hotline. Cannot thank him enough for taking time out of his busy schedule to join us each week. Give us that player perspective. Again, I have to say this. I'm just so overwhelmed that he has decided to join us full time. It means the world to all of us for sure, and I know you guys appreciate his perspective. I still just love the fact that this guy... He only coached here 1 year, but this guy is a Cardinal fan, and it is all by the fact that they live by that motto, family first. Yachty's a Cardinal. That means Benji and Jose are Cardinals. We love those guys. Make sure you tune in each and every week to hear from Benji on the M4 by Yachty Hotline. Again, special thanks, Carly. Will you come back on again?
I will.
Absolutely loved it. Fish, Steve-O.
Thanks for listening.
See Go you guys Birds. Next week.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.